Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. I hope you're all gearing up to have a great weekend. I know I am. Meeting up with the girls at full strength later tonight. That's right. Madeline is back from her sojourn down to Disney World back in New York City. All three Nagler girls and Papa Nagler are going out for all cheese pizza later tonight. Let me tell you, you can't kick off a weekend much better than that. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, speaking of kicking things off, oh baby, it is definitely the silly season of the NFL where it's lion season, smoke screens are aplenty, and who knows if that is what has transpired here, but earlier today, friend of show, longtime friend of Cheesehead TV, Rob Domofsky, went on another program, Wilde and Tausch, as I'm sure most Packers fans are familiar with Jason Wilde's work, along with longtime venerable starter for the Green Bay Packers, Mark Tauscher. There at the local ESPN airwaves, and talked about something he has heard from inside the organization regarding Zach Tom. Oh, baby, this is a doozy. It's so good because ultimately it doesn't mean a whole lot, but we get to feast on this quote for some time now. Oh, baby, here's what Rob had to say. That's right. Is there going to be an O-line shakeup? Quote, I was told by people in the organization that they think Zach Tom is a Pro Bowl right tackle, an all-pro guard, and a potential Hall of Fame center. Unquote. Baby, Rob Domofsky, thank you for providing some content on a slow Friday. We salute you, sir. So let's unpack this, right? Because we've already seen people going at each other's throats about this on Twitter, because that's what Twitter is. But I'd like to take a step back and say, has anyone asked Zach Tom what he would like to do? I mean, clearly, the Packers would enjoy being able to lock in a future Hall of Famer at center rather than at tackle, if for no other reason than the monetary ramifications. But I will say, longtime viewers and listeners of this here channel will remember, I've been banging the drum about Zach Tom at center for quite some time now. And I would normally kind of dismiss this as, yeah, this is probably somebody told him being robbed this in the hopes that it would get out there. Probably hoping that, oh, this means they are probably definitely looking at tackles and then blah, 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 smokescreen season, right? However, we do know that not this past combine, but two combines ago, when general manager Brian Gutekunst was asked what he thought Zach Tom's best position was, he did not hesitate to say that when he was coming out, when he was scouting him there at Wake Forest, when he brought him to the Packers via the draft, he thought his best position was center. That's the man in charge right there. And we do know that last summer, Zach Tom got a bit of a run with the starting group at the center position. I believe August 1st was the first case of Tom sliding in with the starters there during practice, during training camp. Clearly ended up at right tackle and played at an incredibly high level throughout the entirety of the 2024 season. But if there is a group of coaches, if there is a coaching staff that has shown that they are not afraid to mix things up along the offensive line, to truly play some musical chairs, not only from year to year, but hell, from game to game, or even in the games themselves, it's this Green Bay Packers coaching staff headed by Matt Get Our Best Five Out There LaFleur. So I'm all for the idea of Zach Tom moving to center. I think it makes all the sense in the world. As I've been talking about for a couple of years now, I think he'd be outstanding there. You go back and watch, I believe he had 14 starts at Wake Forest that final year in college. It's high-level play, high-level stuff. He is a very, very good player inside there. And I know a lot of people probably ask, well, what do you do with Josh Myers? I've seen some people in my mentions already. Well, can he play guard? He's had very, very limited kind of opportunity to play guard, but that doesn't mean he can't or wouldn't. Heading into his final year, he is set to count just about a little over $3 million against the cap, which obviously isn't a huge hit, though we've seen them move on from people for less. That said, I would suspect that the idea would be if Zach Tom were to move to center, Josh Myers would stick around for at least one more year as veteran insurance, a guy who knows your system, has played a lot of snaps in your program, and who, in case something were to happen injury-wise, could step in at a moment's notice and play at a pretty damn high level. But it is fascinating to think about how they're undoubtedly looking at all the options. We did hear Brian talk about that at the combine regarding the offensive line and really trying to stay open to competition all across the board. So it's going to be interesting when they line up there starting, a couple weeks after the draft. You know, obviously the offseason program begins April 15th, but that's simply meetings and, you know, weight workout stuff. They won't be on a practice field for a while yet. But when that happens, when that occurs, all eyes will be across that offensive front to see how they line up, including whoever they might draft, because obviously the draft is a couple weeks away, and there's no doubt that they're going to add along the offensive line. Now, will they do it early? Will they do it late? Remains to be seen, but fascinating to see a little peek behind the curtain via Rob about their thoughts and their kind of evaluations when it comes to Zach Tom and his potential. Because, like I said right there at the start, he played at an incredibly high level at right tackle. There is no doubt. You go and watch those games week after week, he was erasing people on the edge. And that's not something you can sneeze at. It's not something you dismiss. But if you think that he has an incredibly high ceiling at center, you think it's stratospheric, so to speak, I can understand the desire to want to make the move. So we'll see. We shall see where he ends up. Hello to everybody in the comments section. So good to see everybody mixing it up. We got Chris starting us off with something I just talked about. Can Myers play guard? Can he? Undoubtedly. Has he? Not a lot. But given the opportunity, who knows? Maybe he shines. We'll see. Matthew, how are you? Not forgotten you, Nag. Still believe we are going to lose zero to finish 17-0 this season. Sorry for my absence. I have had a lot on with work and family. Send my best wishes from the UK. Go Pack, go. Matthew, look, I understand. Sometimes people get into a good groove here with Packers Daily, hitting up every single live. Sometimes they disappear for a while, and then they make a triumphant return, much as you have here. I know wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you're pulling, rooting, living, breathing Green Bay Packers all the time. So make no mistake. I know even in your absence, you're carrying the G, sir. She said, Joey, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Could have had Creed Humphreys. Arr, sigh. Yeah, well, you know, the Creed Humphreys thing has officially entered Kevin King, TJ Watt territory, which officially overtook, we could have had any number of guys over Tony Mandrich. Man, this happens. It's part of the gig. Welcome to Earth. This is life. Every single team has not only those types of mistakes and or misses, lots of other teams have way more than the Packers do. That's life, man. That is life in the NFL. How are you going to live except live the life? Hello from Denmark. Well, hello from New York City. Hope you're doing well. What is it, middle of the night there? You must be, you're either up late or up early. Thanks for joining us. Pogs is here. What's up, Pogs? Mikey Riggs. I lurk in the shadows of Packer pundits. Yes, yes, no doubt. Pack Daddy's here. What's up? Should the Packers sign Kenny Clark to a contract extension? Callum, I'm so glad you asked. I literally just cut a video from my conversation with Billy on Carry the G Radio, the podcast, and put it up on the YouTube channel. I'll put it up on my Facebook page as soon as I'm done here. I want them to. I really hope they do. I won't be surprised if they don't. You know, we all know Packers fans are well-versed in the idea that that third contract is a very rare thing when it comes to the Packers handing them out. And clearly, they're coming off handing one to David Bakhtiari and getting burned. Now, that's a very freak occurrence that made that happen. But I can understand possibly not wanting to go and test those waters again. I think it's worth it. I think they should. I think he's still playing at an incredibly high level and is still very young. He's only 28 years old. I would sign him to a deal, get him on an extension, and lower that cap number for 2024 and hopefully for the next 2 years before, yeah, probably having it balloon a little bit. But we shall see how the Packers operate. I would suspect if we're going to get that kind of news, it'll probably happen post-draft heading into training camp, would be my guess. What else we got here, folks? Joey, what's up, man? Picture this. Packers draft Mims, Guyton, or even Barton at 25. They start a right tackle. Tom moves to center, and Josh can be a six-man or could compete at right guard. I think that's 100% what will happen, actually, if there's a tackle available that they like. That would not surprise me at all. And yes, the idea of Myers being your sixth man is not bad. That's a very good thing. Like I said, that's a guy who's got a ton of experience, knows your offense like the back of his hand, and can step in at a moment's notice at, you know, a very pivotal position at center. Now, he's got to prove or show that he's got some position versatility. It's going to be real hard to justify keeping him as a sixth man just as a backup center, because you know he ain't playing tackle. So he's got to show at least some ability at guard, which is what training camp would be about, right? But yes, I think that scenario that you're laying out there is a very realistic possibility. No doubt about it. Nathaniel, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. My new Packers Daily drinking game. Oh, boy. A shot for every random Packer that's a repeat. Two shots if it's Sam Congato or BJ Rashi. Nathaniel out here not choosing life. Godspeed on your quest, sir. Now, the drinking game is a shot for every repeat starting now, right? Like, not all the ones that have already occurred, because, man, you'd be out. Be out some serious out. You know what I'm saying? Jake, thanks for the kind words. Nags, love your work. Anybody think we should re-sign Rudy Ford, because at least we know he can play, right? I keep thinking that's a distinct possibility. I will be very surprised if they go into the draft as is at the safety position, simply because it's what we always talk about, right? You don't want to box yourself in for need. Like, if you go into the draft the way that safety room is right now, you need to draft a safety. But if you bring Ford back, a guy who maybe, yes, has not played in this system, but has played with your, you know, in your program, you know what he's about. He knows how you practice. He knows how you meet. He knows the route, so to speak, when it comes to being a Green Bay Packer. You bring him in, get him up to speed on this new scheme. And then who knows, at the tail end of the draft, maybe you have a safety, maybe even two. And the back end, you get to the offseason part, even into training camp. There's no guarantee that you're going to put him on the 53-man roster. But I do think there's a very, very decent chance that they try to get him back on like a one-year deal or something like that. Menace, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Best O-line combo of these: Timmerman and Taylor, Rivera, Wall, Sitton and Lang, Bach, Bulaga, Michaels, Dotson, or is there one I missed? Thanks, Nags. So your combos are Timmerman and Taylor, Rivera and Wall, Sitton and Lang, Bach and Bulaga, Michaels and Dotson. Oof. So you're kind of jumping over positionally here, but I get what you're doing. Man, Bakhtiari and Bulaga is going to be hard to top. I mean, Sitton and Lang were amazing. Rivera and Wall, obviously, were absolutely incredible in 2003, paving the way for Amon Green's record-setting season. Timmerman and Taylor helped win you a Super Bowl. But just on pure talent and the two guys on offer at that position, I'll probably take Bakhtiari and Bulaga. Again, that's that for just pure talent and positional value, hard to beat. Very, very hard to beat. She's at Joey. What's up, man? Random Packer, BJ Raji. There's two shots. See, I mean, my man signed his own warrant there. That's not great. Let's see what else we got. We have a little one too many guys we pass on. The other teams come up. Yeah, no, but every team does. This is my point. You only know about the Packers, and it hurts you because you're a fan, and so you relive it all the time because, like, when Josh Myers misses a block, you go, oh, we could have had Creed Humphreys. But when every other one of the 31 other teams have those moments, you're not sitting there affected by it. You're not taking it in emotionally. But I guarantee you, every fan of those other teams is sitting there having the same kind of reaction. And my point is, they're having it a lot more than you are. Every team misses. Most teams miss more than the Pack. Nags, where are the Packers going with this draft? I thought I had some ideas in some years past, but not this year. Okay, lift the curtain, Nags. Give you first three picks if Goot given the keys to his office, position and player. Well, though, that's a fool's task, so I'm not going to go directly down that road. But I will say, I do think, you know, offensive line / tackle is the most likely position that they target in round one. Now, it requires someone to be there, right? It requires the board to fall the correct way And I think there's a good chance it does. Second round, I got to be honest, I'm really pulling for Max Melton in the second round with one of those picks. I don't know which pick. I don't care. But I want Bo's brother in Green Bay. I would absolutely love that. I think he's a – I'm not going to even say sneaky good prospect right now because I think everyone's onto him at this point. But, man, I really like his game, and I just love the narrative of him getting to come play with his brother, right? Those are my two. I don't know about a third, you know, but those right now, those are the two that I'm really, I think offensive tackle, give me Max Melton in the second, and I'm cooking with gas. I'm in a good mood if that happens. Woo, made alive. Thanks for all you do, Aaron. Thank you, David. Thanks for checking it out, man. Appreciate you. Going to make sure I don't miss any super chats. No, I think I'm good. All right. Awesome. Very, very good. Let's just draft 8 more wide receivers and call it a day. I mean, Ted might have. I mean, never forget. What was that one year he went into camp with, what, 5 tight ends? I want to say 4, but I think it was 5 tight ends. Let's do it, man. Let's go. Soder, what's up? The draft works because it has multiple upon multiple lists. All 32 teams, Packers, RAS, top of each position. I'm such a sucker. I mean, that's the thing that I keep trying to hammer home each and every offseason. It's like everyone kind of goes so deep on, you know, obviously the first kind of 100 prospects, right? Maybe even not that, maybe like the top 50 dudes. We all see so much content produced around all of them, and there's so much kind of context around each one of those prospects. But so much of that is backwards looking rather than projection. You know, I had someone in my mentions yesterday talking about, or a couple days ago, talking about Cooper DeJean hasn't played on the perimeter. I'm like, I don't care. Like, tell me what you want him to do in Green Bay. I don't want him lining up across from Jaire Alexander. I want him playing safety, or more importantly, I want him playing in the slot. And I think he's going to be really good doing that. But that's the point, right? You're like projecting forward. You're not looking back, but so much, I would say 80% to maybe even 90% of draft coverage is about looking back and looking what he's done, looking what a guy did against college competition. What are his testing numbers? Like, that's fine. But how does that translate into what the teams are going to ask that guy to do? And that's what you can't know, right? And that's why it's so amazing. That's why the draft is just the pinnacle of content. Because the moment the draft occurs, you know, the large majority of draft content is pretty inconsequential. Each and every year, though, baby. We're all here for it. What else we got here, folks? Rye. Oh, my gosh. Preach it to the heavens. Zach Tom's Madden rating is a disgrace. You, my friend, are preaching to the choir. If I gotta watch him get beat by some no-name edge rusher one more time in Madden, I'm gonna lose my damn mind. This is my plead to the folks at EA. I got two questions for you. I'm down on my knees begging you. A, please watch Zach Tom play football. I am begging you. And then my second iteration of that is I am absolutely begging you on the souls of my children to watch Jordan Love throw a football, especially some of these deep out routes that you guys have him going, I'm going to get there by Tuesday. But like when you watch the games at the end of the year, how he's slinging it, clearly throwing a lot better, harder, faster than you guys have him rated. So I'm just, EA, I'm begging you from my soul. Begging you. Oh, here's Mikey. We missed out on the cheetah. I believe that's Tyreek Hill. By picking Trevor Davis in 2016, 2 picks ahead of Tyreek Hill, 5th round. The difference is Tyreek Hill was never on the Packers board. There's no way in God's green earth Ted Thompson was ever going to bring that man to Green Bay. And if you guys don't know about his past, about all the off-field issues that he was embroiled in prior to the draft, go look it up. Ted Thompson was never going to draft that dude, ever. So it's like he didn't exist. You know? That's the way that works in Green Bay. Draft needs to be earlier. Menace, you could not be more correct. Yes, it needs to be like 2 weeks ago. We got 2 more weeks of this. That's what drives me nuts. Most hated, you are a scholar and a legend. Thanks for the kind words. Missed you at happy hour, dude. Come on, show up. Man, preach Nags, that throw to Wicks against Dallas is a banger of an all-time. What's funny is that throw, like, it's that kind of throw isn't even that, like, even what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, it's a really good job pre-snap, diagnosing the defense, knowing that blitz is coming, hitching once to make sure he's open, and then you sling it, and he's got it there, right? It's a great throw. But I'm talking about, like, these deep out routes that, like, you go watch the second half of the season, he's hitting them, like, really, really well. But, like, you throw him on Madden, and it's like, okay, I'm going to use a sundial to figure out when it's going to land. It's just bad, man. This is bad. Jay Love was clearly a javelin thrower in high school. Rocket arm. No question about it. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. Talk to you soon. Go Pack, go.